The second part of our series on faith, and if you're taking notes, I'm preaching on faith moves. Faith moves. So faith has always been one of those very difficult topics for me. You know, I've always struggled with my faith, you know, because I've always wanted to be this great woman of faith, but it's just, you know, eluded me. And I've always had a focus on doing great things for God. And I think that's part of the problem. As a young person, when I was in youth, you'd hear a lot about destiny, the destiny that God has for you. And I interpreted that as a destination, that with faith, you arrive somewhere. Except I never arrived. And so what that did was, after a while, I started to feel inadequate and an imposter around faith. And that's because my definition of faith was limited to grand achievements, great miracles, prophetic moves and healings, the big stuff. But Pastor Steve Coppin shared last week, and he talked about faith being simple. He said, it's simple. He said, don't work so hard at it. And he also talked about the faith of Enoch. He talked about how Enoch's life, you know, Enoch was a man of faith, despite not even having the Bible. You see, we have access to the Bible, multiple versions of the Bible. We've got YouTube, we've got Instagram, you name it, we've got it. We're rich when it comes to access to information, biblical information. But those people lived the Bible. We read the Bible. I believe, though, that God wants us not just to read the Bible, but to actually live it. And so faith, Enoch had great faith. It says that Enoch pleased God. And he pleased God because, one, he believed God. He pleased God because he sought after God. And he believed that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I realized, you can be living in faith and miss it right now. I believe the truth is you are actually already living in faith and by faith. It's not something out there that you're waiting for. If you read Hebrews 11 and you hear the things that the people did by faith, it says by faith this one did this, by faith, you find that the thing that it has, all of them have in common is that it's a verb. It's a doing word. So there are things that you are doing, and that is faith. But because our preconceived ideas of what faith is, we think we're not living in faith and we're waiting. I want to share from Joshua 1, verse 1 to 11. This is from the NIV. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Second time. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Third time. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as I share what you've put in my heart, Lord, that there would be a shift, not just in our thinking, but in our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a bit of background, Moses and Joshua did life together. Just like you and I are doing life together. With Moses being a mentor to young Joshua. Moses was chosen by God to deliver the children of Israel from slavery. And he did that. But he never got to see the promised land because he disobeyed God. Joshua, however, would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And in the scriptures that I've just shared, we see the instruction of God to Joshua after Moses has died. So dead is gone. Dead is gone. Dead things are gone. Sometimes we don't realize that. God starts his instruction to Joshua with, "Moses, my servant, is dead." I think we can assume, given these people did life together, Joshua already knew this, right? But God needed to establish this truth in Joshua's mind. Because this truth was foundational to what God was about to do in Joshua's life. In order to move forward, we must recognize that dead things are gone. Dead is gone. We have to recognize what is no longer serving a purpose, what has become useless, and what is dead in our lives that needs to be released back to God, because he already knows it has served its purpose. He just needs you and I to know it. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's going to mean different things to different people. And I wonder if there are things in your life that are dead, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's a dream, it's dead. But you haven't realized yet that dead means it's gone. And so you remain holding on to it. So with that knowledge, God was ready to show Joshua a new assignment. But he needed him to first know, "My servant Moses is dead. We're about to enter a new chapter, new assignment." God had a new leadership assignment for Joshua. Although he had led alongside Moses, God gave him instructions for something different. Moses was used in a very powerful way. He did what he did. But this was a new chapter, and God was about to use Joshua in a different way. God has an assignment for you and I, and it's going to be different from your predecessor. It's going to be different from the person who came before you. So you have to stop hanging on to what somebody else did before you came onto the scene. Sometimes we hang on to what somebody else did. For whatever reason, maybe we don't feel confident, maybe we're not sure. But we have to, because until we do that, we've been singing, "Make room." Until we do that, then when you don't make room, it means the new thing cannot come in, because you're not making room. God wanted Joshua to understand that he had plans for expansion, and that there were territories that he would occupy. With every assignment, God has a tendency, just from my observation, to give a promise and to give reassurance. He just likes to do it that way. He wanted Joshua to understand that there is promises of protection and promises of ever-present help. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So he gave Joshua the word to hang on to. When was the last time God gave you a word to hang on to? God gives words all the time. Do you remember the last word he gave you? He can give a word, but there's a purpose for that word. It's for you to hang on to, because that's what's going to build your faith. That's what's going to build your next step. You see, faith listens for the word to keep you going. He told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he told him, be strong and courageous. In that passage we read, it was said three times. And one of those times it says, be strong and very courageous. And we know in the Bible when something is repeated, it means that it's very, very important. So it's important to God that his children understand that he wants them to be strong. And he wants them to be courageous. And God tends to have some conditions of what he expects us to do. The promise requires our participation. We're not just spectators. Joshua had to obey in order to get success. Sometimes we just want success without the obedience. Sometimes we say he's a gracious God. We hold on to the grace of God, but we don't want to know about the holiness of God. But there's two sides. We can't pick one and leave the other. And so he had to obey in order to get success. You and I have to do our part of obedience, and then God does his part of fulfilling the promises. So what is faith, and how do I get it? We talk a lot about faith, and sometimes it can feel or sound like we're all on the same page. But Hebrews 11 tells us, now faith, this is 1 and 2, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, at a very basic level, even if you don't understand that statement, we do understand what confidence looks like. If I was to put 5 people over there and I asked them to walk up and down, you would be able to pick which people there were confident. So what that tells us is that you can see confidence. So when it says faith is confidence in what we hope for, it means you can see it. You can observe somebody walking by faith. They don't have to necessarily tell you, but you see it. There's a confidence that comes with them. It says this is what the ancients were commended for. It says it's impossible, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the ancients were commended. God loves it when we operate in faith. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, this is the Apostle Paul, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You know, I was looking at this word recently, faith. I've always said that scripture, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing. And I had to look at the word, what does it mean? Dom, if I ask you, can you please come here? What are you going to do? Can you do it for me? Please, thank you. I'm sorry. He just came. Right? So let's imagine he is faith. Right? I'll get you to go back and then I'm going to call you again. Thank you, Dom. You're amazing. Faith, that's faith there, comes. It's coming. Faith comes. What's it doing? And what it's following me, right? This is exciting, right? This is so cool. So when I say I have no faith, but then faith comes. Thank you, Dom. We've seen it come and we've seen it follow me, right? But it says it comes by what? Hearing. And hearing how? Through the word about Christ. What that tells me is the minute somebody hears the message of Christ, faith comes. So it doesn't make sense to say, I have no faith. And I believe that's why God can say, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it means we all have faith. The minute you have heard. But here's another thing. In the Hebrew, the word hear is not the same as we hear it in the English language. Because when we say hear, we just mean, okay, they said something, I heard it. The word is shema. S-H-E-M-A. And it means to allow the words to sink in, to provide understanding, and to generate a response. And it's about action. So there has to be action. Hearing and doing are the same thing in the Hebrew. Therefore, what it means is faith moves. Faith moves. Faith moves once it recognizes three things, which I've already spoken about. First, faith has to recognize that dead is gone. If you're going to walk by faith, dead is gone. Forgetting those things, right? Forgetting those things that are left behind, right? It's important that you forget things. So dead is gone. Number two, you have to recognize that there is a new assignment. God has an assignment. There's your purpose, which is for all of us to glorify God, to let your light shine. That's our purpose as children of God. But your assignment to outwork that purpose is different. We all have different assignments. We're all in different stations right now, right? Some of us are in school, some of us are in offices, some of us are in businesses, some of us are parents. There's all different assignments that you've been given. So you have to recognize the new assignment that God has you on. And then thirdly, you have to know there is a word to hang on to. What is the word God has given you? We are so rich with the Bible. We don't need so many words. Some people only ever heard one scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That's all they needed to hear. And then they run. We have, I don't know how many pages are in the Bible, so I won't even try. But we have the whole Bible. So Joshua becomes focused and starts living by faith. Once he had heard, my servant Moses is dead. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He had to hear all that. And then he was off. And then he moved in faith. Because it says in verse 10, so Joshua, this is what he does after hearing all of this. Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. By faith, Joshua ordered offices. He took on this new leadership position because faith moves. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. This is such a powerful scripture. So this is like in Joshua 6. The walls of Jericho fell. That's the result of what? Their faith, which was what? The army marching around for 7 days. But I want you to see why they marched. Very interesting. This is Joshua 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. And God goes on and on and on and on and tells them what to do. But what I want you to catch is this. The Lord said, see, I have delivered. This is what Joshua is hearing. God says, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And then he then says, now march. So the way that faith works is that God wants you to see what he already knows. God saw deliverance and victory before it occurred because he's in charge of it all anyway. And with that, he says much. He says, take action. Take a step. Sometimes, you know, I remember many years ago, I had this habit of waiting on the Lord because I didn't want to get it wrong. And so I'd keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And nothing would happen. And I would get frustrated. And I say nothing would happen, as in, you know, you probably, most of you know this, I dream a lot, and you know, I will dream and I'll believe God is saying something to me, and then I'll be waiting and waiting and waiting. Until it occurred to me, or through somebody speaking to me, that actually, when God gives you a dream, and some people, he gives you something different, that's him saying, see. That's him showing you, speaking to you, and wanting you to see what he sees, wanting you to see deliverance, victory, or whatever it is he wants you to see. And then you are to march. You are to take action. But a lot of us get stuck on the being shown. We get shown things, and we talk about what we've been shown, but we don't do anything about it except talk about it. So God wants us to open our eyes and see, and then march. And so for you, I guess it would be useful to think, what does that look like for me? What is it that God has shown me? What is it that God wants me to see? And what is the action that God wants me to take? So how do we walk by faith? Psalm 139, 14 to 16, and this is David, young David, well, now King David. He says, I praise you. By the way, praising is faith. It takes faith to praise. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so by faith, David was certain that God's works are wonderful. And that's what we need to do. We need to be certain that God's works are wonderful. If it's got God's hand on it, then it is wonderful. If it's God's idea, then it is wonderful. You are wonderful. Yeah? So, by faith, he confidently declared. Like I said, faith is a verb. Not only was he certain that God's works are wonderful, he confidently declared that he was a unique creation, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. I wonder how many of us walk around saying, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How many of us walk around with, I am amazing? Yeah, a few of us, perfect. Yes, I am wonderful. Yeah, I am gorgeous. Yes. You've got to find your word, because that's what God says about you, right? It's God's idea. If you are God's idea, your children are God's idea, your marriage is God. You've got to sit down and say, what things on this earth are actually God's ideas? Because if it is God's idea, it is a unique creation, and it was fearfully and wonderfully made, meaning that it was intentionally done. It was precisely done. There was order to it, right? It wasn't just haphazard. By faith, David knows this full well, not in part. So walking by faith requires that we don't only partially know the wonders of God and his works, but we must know it full well. You know, you can tell when somebody is confident, like I said. You can know when somebody is full well. David's wife was laughing at him. Or in fact, she was insulting him about the way he was dancing before the Lord. And what did David say? He said, I will become even more undignified than this. He didn't care. He's like, when it comes to God, hey, right? That same David, this is him now as a king. He was dancing and his wife thought, that's foolishness what you're doing. But he was always like that. When he was a young man, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Right? His brothers were like, who did you leave these little sheep with? Like, they're like, go back to, you know, raising sheep or whatever it is you do with sheep, right? But he was so confident. He's like, give me Goliath, right? Because he had this confidence. He had this faith. So this was not a new thing. So when his wife was like, David, you're embarrassing us. He was like, oh, yeah? I will become even more undignified. You ain't seen nothing yet, right? And so that's how we have to be. We have to walk around like you ain't seen nothing yet. You think I'm talking too much about Jesus? You ain't seen nothing yet, right? You think I'm praising God too much? You think I'm saying too many hallelujahs? You ain't seen nothing yet. That's how we are supposed to be, right? So faith is a trust issue. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me. You see, I've seen this scripture so many times, but I feel God really opened it up for me a bit more this week. Your eyes saw my unformed body. What that actually means is that God sees the unformed version of whatever is to come in your life. You see, because when we're praying for things, oh, Lord, I'm praying for, I don't know, a husband, but I already got one, so I'm not praying for that. Praying for a husband, I'm praying for a house, I'm praying for a job, whatever it is, God sees the unformed version of that. Meaning, he sees it before it comes into fruition. He sees it already. That's why he was able to say to Joshua, see. Right? Because he's saying, I've already seen the unformed version. Now it's your turn to see. So when we are praying to God, when we are stuck in life, we have to go to God and say, Lord, open up my eyes so that I can see. Sometimes our prayers don't get answered because when we pray amiss. We don't pray according to God's purposes, but also we're not praying for God to open up our eyes. We're not praying for God to open up our ears. God sees the unformed version. So here's the thing. God has the facts about your timeline on this earth. So really, trusting him is the only way to go. It's the only way. Faith is to be continued. To be continued. You see, I hate cliffhangers. You know, when you watch a really good movie, right? And at the end, what happens? You are left hanging because you are unsure. And you know, I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes you're watching a movie and you're thinking, I can predict the end of this movie. And then they shock you, right? Like killing the main character or just doing something you were not expecting. I hate cliffhangers because you are unsure of now what? How long am I going to have to wait for the second? Or even seasons of things, you know? How long am I going to have to wait for the second season? And sometimes it takes 2 years, right? Our lives can sometimes feel like a cliffhanger. You know, we go through trials and tribulations and then we don't get what we hoped for. Someone gets sick. Someone gets divorced. Somebody dies. Things don't go according to plan. But the truth is this. God is present before, during, and after our entry into this world. We, however, only tend to focus on the during phase. We focus on the present time on earth. But the thing is, long before we came, others prayed. Long before we came, others believed. Long before we came, people were taking steps of faith. We didn't start it. But sometimes it can feel like we're it. We started it. But faith is a continuation. It's to be continued. Hebrews 11, 36 to 40 says, this is talking about, you know, if you want to know about faith, read Hebrews 11 and 12. They're talking about all these people who lived by faith. And it says, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Now, catch this next line. This is the bit you don't want to read in the Bible. yet none of them received what had been promised. Sometimes you just want to erase that bit, right? Because what does that mean for us? They were commended for their faith, meaning these people had great faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They lived by faith, we lived by faith, but they didn't get what they had, they didn't receive what they'd been promised, because it says that God had other plans. Sometimes the plans of God don't make sense to us. Because we have a belief that, well, I'm living by faith, I'm doing all the right things, so this is what should happen. But it doesn't always happen like that. So a takeaway message from this scripture. Living by faith does not mean you get what you want, what you prayed for, or what you're believing for. We have to dismantle that lie. Because for a lot of us, we've been in environments where we've just been told, if you just claim it in Jesus' name, you will get it. And then year in, year out, nothing happens. Right? But if we're looking at this scripture, it's saying they were commended for their faith. It's like, tick, you are amazing. You are a person of great faith. But they did not get what they were promised. That's the Bible. But it says it's because God had other plans. He had planned something better. And sometimes we get frustrated because we don't know what that is. But it was always God's strategy that faith would be generational. That faith would be a lifelong journey, not just about the here and now. And it would be something we do together. Their faith and our faith together. Before Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, Moses led them out of Egypt. And before Moses, there were many others. You can even take it from Abraham. From Abraham, there was Isaac. There was that journey. Then Isaac to Jacob. Jacob to his 12 sons. Joseph was one of those 12 sons. And then Joseph ends up as a slave in Egypt. And that's where Moses comes from, that slavery period. After Joshua, we have the prophets, the kings. We have various empires. We have the Roman Empire. And then we have Jesus Christ and the new covenant that you and I have. And then there's us and our trials and tribulations. It's important to look at the timeline, your timeline on earth, not just your part of it. You have to look at it from beginning to end. You know, medical and other insurance companies have what they call a waiting period. And we hate those, right? Or is it just me? Waiting periods. Well, they tell you got to wait 2 months until you can benefit from this, right? Before you can enjoy the benefits of what they offer. God operates under a different system because he decides the waiting period. Unlike the companies, you know, God doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you, oh, you get married in 6 months. Oh, you get that job, right? But that's what we want, right? Because it settles our anxieties. But he operates under a different system. He likes to be mysterious. You don't actually know what you will get at the end. With insurance companies, you know what you get after the waiting period. With God, you don't actually know. He might give you a completely different version. Steve Coppin shared last time about how they waited for 17 years for a child and they ended up adopting. That was not what they thought would happen, but that's how the blessing came. So God has his own ways and it's not always what we think. And so the only way we will get there is through one thing and one thing only, and that is trust. So I just want to share, if I could have the keyboard player, if we have one, or Richard. Where is Rich? Oh, yeah, Lily, thank you. I want to talk about a woman of great faith. I asked for permission to share this story. So I have an auntie in Botswana, and I was just sharing with her that we'll be going there very soon. And she's my aunt on my father's side of the family, so I didn't really grow up with her. But I had a conversation with her because she sent a message recently. And in this message, she had sent it to a few people, and It was her singing. It was a voice memo, and she was singing, and the words of what she was singing over and over and over was, "Hallelujah, I thank you, Lord, for the days of my life." Over and over and over. And she talked about how, you know, it's her 60th birthday. And I asked her what turning 60 meant to her. And she said, "Look, I thank God I made it to 60. I never thought I'd make it to 60. And I asked her the question again, you know, in a different way, same question, because I was like, you know, yeah, but what are you looking forward to now that you're 60? Like, what's the plan? What's the deal? And she's like, "I thank God that I turned 60. I never thought." She repeated it. Nothing more, nothing less. Just gratitude. She was just grateful for her life. And so by faith, I asked her, "Can I please pray for you?" And I say by faith, because remember, faith is a verb. Anything that you do, that's faith. I say by faith because it took a lot for me to ask her this question. Because in asking her, I was confronted by my own fears. And I'll explain in a minute what I mean by that. Because of her own experiences. And one of my biggest fears has always been losing your life partner, right? Your husband just dies. And you have to deal with that. That's always been scary. But it has happened to many. She had been through a lot. And so I was feeling inadequate. I was feeling like I was overstepping, like I had no permission. I was feeling like I was being insensitive because I'd never known such complicated grief. And fear tempted me to ask, to not ask. But I felt the need and I acted because faith moves. And so I call this woman a woman of great faith because in the last 5 years, she's had a very difficult time. Her mother, who's my grandmother, died after 4 years of living with a stroke, and my aunt is the one who nursed her through that. One of her two daughters, who had been very dedicated to taking, they spent their whole life taking care of their grandmother. They didn't have lives of their own, really. Her daughter at 31 died of COVID. But before that, the year before, she was diagnosed with brain disease. Her brother, my uncle, who had epilepsy, died under mysterious circumstances. Well, we don't know, but he was found dead in the house. Her husband dropped dead while exercising at the gym. And she's had her own health complications. All these things happened in the space of the last 5 years. So I called her, and as I was speaking to her, and I told her, "I want to see you." She said, "I'm still healing. I don't want you to come and see me because I will not stop crying." Because I've always reminded her of her brother, my father. They were very close, and he died many years ago. And I said, "I really want to see you, but I will respect your wishes." And so I prayed. And after I prayed, her words to me were, "I take that back. You can come and see me." And she had a big smile on her face as she said this. And after I dropped the phone, I asked myself, what happened? What just happened? God happened. Faith happened. Prayer happened. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because of people like her, people like me are encouraged to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so for you, there are people that God has placed in your life, a great cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded, it's your job to work out who is this great cloud of witnesses. But you don't have to go far. All of these people are the great cloud of witnesses. And so as you hear people's story, as you hear their testimony, as you hear what God has done, you should be encouraged to run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Church, let's stand up. I just want to pray. You know, I said a lot of things, and you may have taken one or two things. I hope you got something. But I really want to pray three things by faith. I want to pray for a release from dead things. Some of us are in dead spaces, and those dead spaces are dragging you. They are dragging you. You keep looking back when you should be looking forward. And so I just want to pray that God would help you release. God would help you let go of those things. I also want to pray by faith that you would ask the Lord, what is that new assignment? If you don't know what your assignment is right now, that God would reveal to you what your new assignment is. And lastly, that by faith we would pray that you would hear the word that you can hang on to. If you cannot say, hand on heart, this is the word that God has given me, then you should come for prayer. If you cannot say, this is the word that I'm running with, then you should, by faith, come up for prayer. Three things. Release from dead things, new assignment, word to hang on to. I'm just going to give you a few minutes because I don't want to rush this. So you can just come up to the front and then I'll pray.